This is my first conference, and it was kind of nice yesterday to walk in and find name badges. It's a small thing, but it makes it feel like a conference. You come in, and Chip's back there with all his kit, and they're up front with all this nice stuff, and they got food, and you think, wow, you know, I'm really at something here. So thank you very much for that. I'm going to be using my telephone here for some looking up some Bible stuff. So if I'm holding my telephone, it's for that reason. I think it's nice to start yesterday with faith and love. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a layup, really, though. I mean, you know, it's like motherhood and apple pie. I mean, no one's against it, right? And these are really good things, you know, that we all love. I think probably Ken Ham is somewhere clutching his chest after, I don't know if you guys know who Ken Ham is, but he's a guy that would say, you know, Genesis is, you know, the six literal days, and I'm not against that, but I think he would have trouble with what we heard this morning. And my uncle talks about going from the high level, the whole, to the part. I never understood that, because to me the Bible is kind of an antique store. You know, I go through and I find a shiny object and I just can't get off of it. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have a bit of a shiny object. But I think it was going to have, it should have a great impact on how you look at Scripture. And there were a couple quotes yesterday from Colossians, also this morning, and it'll have an effect on those. Yes, turn it over. Well, there we go. I just did a little plug for my YouTube channel here. I already got a subscriber yesterday from the group here. I am a really weird person. I live in the Netherlands, and I am conservative. And that's not an easy place to be conservative. And my channel reflects that. And I had a church in the Netherlands ask me to come. They said, well, we need preachers. And I said, oh, I'll do that. I said, but please look at my my YouTube channel first to make sure that you don't put somebody in front that is going to get people hopping up and down. Luckily, they're beggars, so they can't be choosers, and I do it for free, so they're happy to have me. But still, so these are the things I do. I do little shorts and that kind of thing, and I do full blown sermons. And for example, this will also go up on my YouTube channel. So please feel free. I also go to a church by an Anglican church. I don't know if you've been following the news, but an Anglican church, and we have now elected a female pope. It's not the pope. It's the Archbishop of Canterbury. But for the first time in yonks, oh, a few centuries, for the first time ever, we have a lady archbishop. And this has caused quite a lot of consternation. And, you know, pray for Anglicans across the world. Keisha, my cousin, she's got an Anglican here in the area from Nigeria. These are dedicated Christians. I'm not saying that they don't confuse Paul and Peter all the time, but They're dedicated Christians. They've got Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection right in the center of their belief. and they deserve our prayers. Okay, now let's get into this. You're going to be looking at that guy right there. And this is kind of how I feel about this thing. In fact, in a fit of hubris, I thought I came up with this idea myself, but I didn't. It's from Randy White, who is a right divider in Taos, New Mexico, and is a real bright light in my universe of people that I listen to. And as I was grappling with what it means, if I'm correct, what it means, I just became kind of overwhelmed with things. And this is kind of how I feel like I look. Yeah? I just, my legs won't work. And I feel like I'm stumbling forward. And I can't open my eyes. I don't know if you guys have had these dreams, but for me it's a waking dream that I've been having. I mean, even the bull stops here. Even the bull, you know, even the bull's just like, dude, you know, get up. I mean, come on, you know, as he sort of crawls up the stairs there. So what I'm going to propose is that I'm committed to this, but I'm a bit out of my depth. And the title of this is You Ain't a Saint. Now, I presented something like this. This is sort of the first level of this to the Bible Forum. I don't know. A year ago, something like that. And they let me leave the building, unaware, I think, of what it was actually meant, if it's true. And so what I would like to do is, and this is the preface, I'm going to tell you the punchline. The punchline is, you are not a saint. Wherever you read saint in the Bible, it ain't you. That's going to hurt some people's theology or some, maybe some pet ideas in right division. But I think that what I'm doing here is really being true to right division. I'm really trying to apply 2 Timothy 2:15 and be a workman and get stuck in and take some of these ideas and see where they go and try to back them up. And I think I've done that. If it's true, I'm not putting a bomb under dispensationalism. I'm not putting a bomb under if you're mid-Acts. I'm not putting a bomb under, you know, Acts 28 dispensation. I'm not doing any of it. It won't put a bomb under there, but it is going to sort of change somewhat. Kind of like a kaleidoscope, you know, it just turns at a quarter turn and something different comes out. So what my premise is again is, you ain't a saint. So let's get into this and what that actually means. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use something called the doctrine of first use. This is put up by this chap, Randy White. I'm sorry, I am drifting out of the camera. This chap, Randy White, down in Taos, New Mexico, and he has this law or doctrine of first use. Look at where, if you wonder what a word means, look at where it was first used. Yeah, go from there. Go from the places where it's absolutely, positively obvious what it means, and then go to the harder verses. Don't start with a hard verse and say, well, it could be this and it could be that, and maybe here's a shade of gray and that kind of thing. No, start with the things that seem pretty obvious. I'm going to try to do that. So I'm going to go and look at Chosid and Kadosh. These are the two Hebrew words that have to do with set apart, holy ones, saints, all that kind of thing. Then I'm going to jump into the New Testament. And I'm going to look at, okay, well, where are we using this in the New Testament? Where are we talking about saints? Now, there is a trajectory here. There's what my Uncle Peter just called a sidebar. And that has to do with this Hagion, Hagia, Ton Hagion, referring not only to people, but also to some buildings and this kind of thing. I'm not going to go there, so I'm not going to touch that at all. So those of you who knew that, I'm not going there. I will then say, well, look, I had to narrow this down. You know, you just saw me running in front of this bull, and I'm falling on my face, and I can't get up, and I can't find my footing, and You know, I'm committed but incompetent. And I needed to pull this down into something really, you know, you're at a conference, you want to pull it down to something pretty doggone obvious. And I'm going to pull it down to the introductions that Paul uses in his letters. That's what I'm doing there. And specifically, I'm going to go Philippians, Colossians, and Ephesians. And I'm going to spend the most time on Ephesians because that's where it's most clear what I'm trying to get across. Welcome to those of you on Zoom. All right, we have Zoom. We might even have my wife online. Is she there? She's there. Hello. I'm glad you could make it. She's being stuck in traffic. Wasn't sure she could make it. And that's where I'll go. And then that'll be it. So that's the journey. It's even the punchline. If you're already upset about that, there's some nice snacks in the back there you can go get. Now the backstory is this. I was doing one of the things on my YouTube channel, and it was a father and son study of Philippians. So yes, I strapped my 18-year-old son to a chair, and he did this willingly. He was 18 then, he's 19 now. I strapped him to a chair, and we are going to go through verse by verse through Philippians. But we didn't start in Philippians. We started in Acts chapter 15. And here was Paul going to Philippi. And who did he go to first? He went to the Jews. And there were Lydia was there. This is this lady who was a dealer in purple. So she was a businesswoman. Now, they didn't have enough for a minion. So you kids, I don't mean those little yellow characters on Despicable Me. I mean at least 12 Jewish men of bar mitzvah age. They didn't have enough for a minion, so they didn't have a critical core, but they had a number of people, and they would go, they would worship, if you remember from Acts, they would go down to the river and they would worship, and that's where he went first, and that's where the story starts. And then, as you know, Paul got thrown in prison. And the prison fell down, and the head of the prison, or the guy that was guarding them, was about to run himself through with a sword, and he says, "No, no, don't do that! Don't do that! We're all still here." And long story short, he invited them over to his house, and he says, "How do I get saved?" And he said, "Follow the commandments, sell all your stuff, and follow me." No, he didn't. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved." Well, that seems different from what we just got in the Synoptic Gospels and all of that kind of stuff. There are two groups here. There are two groups here. And that's going to be important when we start looking at the introductions of Paul's letters. For example, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, sin in the Greek, along with the bishops and deacons. Now, if you're like me, you have read that as one group. It's the saints, and of course we're the saints. I actually go to a church called All Saints. They won't change the name, no matter how convincing I am. With the bishops and deacons. And you think, well, that's one group, Peter. But the Greek supports something else. The Greek supports two, even where it's using the word, the Greek word kai. It actually really supports more of two distinct groups here. And you think, well, maybe, we're not going to take your word for it, and you shouldn't. But if we start there, we say, well, if I'm reading this and I'm looking for two distinct groups, I've got to be persnickety. Which Dutch people love that word. persnickety. I've never heard that word, and let me tell you about it. We need to be persnickety about pronouns. Now, my pronouns are... No, I'm not going to go there. But we need to be persnickety about pronouns. We need to look at that pronoun and say, who in the heck is us? We, ye, you, thou, thee, all those kind of things. And this will give us an indication as to what we're seeing here. That's the backstory. If we look in the Old Testament, we see one of the words that's used for this set apart ones referring to Jews is kosid. Kosid. Let me just give you a few examples of this. There are dozens of these. And you say, well, you know, you haven't shown the one that I saw. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of these. You're just going to have to trust me that I'm giving you a correct sample here. Deuteronomy 33:8. Deuteronomy 33 has a number of these. It refers to the Holy One or the Faithful One in the blessing of the tribe of Levi. This word kosid. In Psalm 132:16, I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. These are not the Philistines, okay? These are Jews. Proverbs 2:8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. These are Jews. These are Israelis. These are the Hebrews. Kadosh, please forgive my Hebrew pronunciation. Same idea. Exodus 19:6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and this word, a holy nation, a set apart nation, a special nation. Zechariah 14:5, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints, the holy ones, with thee. And finally, we're back in Deuteronomy 33:2, and he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Sire unto them. He shineth forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. These are the set apart ones. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Point is here, there are no Gentiles. You say, well, you know, Gentiles, they don't feature very well until the New Testament. Well, let's take a look there. Yes, AI made this, and if you look at it long enough, you find the most hilarious mistakes. But we won't do that. So here is Hagion, Hagia, Ton Hagion in the New Testament. Very often translated, say, almost always translated, say, something 45 times or something like this. And again, as I've read the Bible and I've gone through, especially those books that in right division, we say, oh, you know, this is not just for us. You know this. This is to us and about us. And I wonder. Matthew 27:52, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. I have a whole sermon about this. It's called The Zombie Apocalypse on my YouTube channel. I've called it that out of no irreverence, but that's what the Muslims call it. The Zombie Apocalypse. Acts 9:13, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. This is Jews. Acts 9:32. Now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he came down to the saints who lived at Lydda. Peter is going to Jews. Acts 9:41, and giving her his hand, he raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Just two more here. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and the love you have shown for his name in having ministered to the saints and still ministering. And finally, in Revelation, and it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. It's always set apart. It's always basically got to do with Hebrews. Okay, if that's true, as weird as it may seem, saints in the New Testament are believing Jews. This is a problem for the way I used to read the Bible. One of the implications of this, that the one I narrowed down to, because we can look at all, there's all kinds of ecclesiastical and soteriological and eschatological and any other logicals that you got in your head for this. I just wanted to narrow it down to the introductions in Paul's life. Can we find something there based on the backstory where I said, hey, wait, I think there are two groups here. So if we look at the pre-Acts 28 introductions, we see that they're to one group. Thessalonians, Corinthians, Galatians, Hebrews, and Romans. Romans, you got to read down about six or seven verses, but it is pretty clear who it's to. It's only, in later verses. It's only in later verses that I think it's chapters 4, 5, 6, right in there, that you start to get the talking about the Gentiles. There, it's to one group. If you look at his later, the pastoral epistles, you see that Philemon is, well, it's not just to Philemon, it's to a number of people, but it's 4, 5, 6 people, something like this, and it's to them. But it's not to different groups. 1 Timothy is to Timothy. Titus is to Titus. 2 Timothy is to Timothy. Okay. So that's the late stuff, and we got the early stuff. And here in the middle, I'm finding double addresses. Double addresses where in the past, I was seeing one address. And it was to me. And I was a saint. Philippians 1. Take a look in your Bibles and just make sure that I'm not trying to pull a fast one on you here. Philippians 1. Paul and Timothy is the servants of Jesus Christ to all these saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, comma, with the bishops. If you have an NIV, which I have a bad relationship with the NIV. We use the NIV in my church, and NIV will actually just change things that you can't believe it changes. But the NIV here, their idea is, the idea that this is one group is so ingrained that they will say that the saints in Jesus Christ who are at Philippi. And then they'll say something like, I don't think you do it in Philippians, I think you do it in Colossians, but they'll say, bishops and deacons. Yeah? They'll write it in English as if it is one group, but it's leaving out the underlying sin or chi, along with sin, chi, and in the Greek. Well, Peter, you're kind of stretching it there. I need more evidence. Well, sure you do. Colossians. Again, Philippians, Colossians. This is not only for me, it's to me and about me. That's where I was. You think, well, Peter, that's where you started. Well, it could be. This could be just my own personal journey. Maybe you're already there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints. And I think if you've got an NIV, it'll just have a comma after saints. Faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. but it's to the saints and the faithful brethren. Now, I read that easily as the same thing. These are my faithful brethren, and they are saints. But the underlying Greek doesn't really allow that very well. We'll look at one more, and then we'll pull these three out, and we'll be done. Paul, Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. It kind of feels like one group, if you read it like that, but I submit that it's two groups. Let's take a look. Philippians. By the way, this is gold from AI. I go in and I say, will the Greek support this and that and the other thing? And please show me how the Greek will do that. And it's really nice on that. I give you a little tip. Don't ask AI questions about verses, because what it'll do is it'll go into the internet and it'll find the theology and it won't be yours. And it'll tell you that that's the introduction, that's the interpretation. What you need to do is say, ignore theologians, tell me what the text says. And then it's pretty good. Oh, sorry. Passage. Chapter 1, 3 to 30 is saints, what it called remnant believers. I wouldn't die in a ditch for the word remnant there, but I think you know what I mean. Chapter 2, 12 to 18, it's using very Deuteronomic understandings here, very Jewish. And if what I'm saying is correct, you do not get to Gentiles in Philippians until the beginning of chapter 3. If you are persnickety about the pronouns, you do not get there until chapter 3. I'm going to show you what it means to be persnickety about pronouns in two slides. It'll be our last slide. And this right at the bottom. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you. This is the beginning of chapter 3. To me is indeed not grievous, but for you is it safe. Never really understood that. But if you look at it in the context of, I'm writing to these saints over here, and I'm writing the same thing to you guys, and that's good. Here's Colossians, section chapter 1, 3 to 12. You've got the same Greek pronouns focused on the saints. One of my assumptions here is that Paul is always, if there are two groups, he's always addressing the saints first. Sorry, the Jews first. Again, saints are messy, what we would call a messianic Jew, believing Jews. Luckily, all the quotes of Corinthians have been after or sorry, of Colossians have been after verses 13 and 14, which actually corresponds with the verses that are to us. So in 13 and 14, you see Gentiles are now sealed as later entrants. They come in as entering into this group later. In chapter 2, you have this creation of a new entity. It is not Israel expanded, but is the creation of a new body. And here's where we get the difference between Paul's gospel of Christ that corresponds with Peter's work and his later works where we're talking about the body. And then in chapter 3 we get into the mystery with the Gentiles now fully equal. Let's go through this. If you got your Bibles, I'm going to do Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go through about 14 verses. I have gone through all of Ephesians. If my friend Reverend Daniel sees this video, I want to call him out. I went through and I got persnickety about the pronouns in all of Ephesians. I did all six chapters. And he said, wow, that's quite a work you did there. We were going to do a study on it. And then he took a job at the other side of the country, and we haven't been able to get to. So, Daniel, if you're out there, I want to get together with you on this and show you that saints are not you. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, Jewish believers, who are in Ephesus, and the faithful Gentile believers in Christ Jesus. Grace to both y'all, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. If you've got your Greek Bible there, you see it's Hymeneus, and this is y'all. He said, well, Peter, okay, that's nice, but that's not enough. As you go, verse by verse here, I think it'll start to click in your mind what I'm really getting at here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us saints, Jewish believers, in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What does that have to, if you ain't a saint, but you're linking this heavenly places here to yourself, you know, what does that mean? I'm not saying it's wrong, but if I can be, you know, open about myself, I always thought, well, this is saints and this is us, and I'm going to heavenly places on the basis of this verse right here. Even as he chose us saints in him before the foundation of the world. Oh my goodness. How many times have I heard an explanation of this? No, Peter, we're not Calvinists. We're not predestination. But we were chosen before it. And we're chosen, and there's an insert a big argument here. And I never quite got that. And it gets a little worse. Even as he chose us saints in him before the foundation of the world, so that's about Jews, yes, that we saints should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us saints for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he blessed us saints in the beloved. I've always read that as me and you. But he's talking to Jews that believe. Jews that still have promises coming. In fact, it's in the slide pack that I sent to Chip. The last slide that we won't look at, the appendix, shows that Colossians and the Philippians and Ephesians probably come before Acts 28. These things were already rolling. But that's another talk. He predestined us saints. Well, if you think you're a saint and you've got the word predestined here, you've got to go through quite some movement to not be a Calvinist. In him, we saints have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us saints in all wisdom. Remember, I'm adding saints here. It just says us. Making known to us saints the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. You think, well, yeah, that is why the nation was chosen. Peter, couldn't it be that you got it backwards maybe? That your assumption that he always addresses the saints first is wrong. I think with the content here, it's got to be Jews. If there are two groups, this has got to be talking to Jews, or it could be everyone. But it fits much better with Jewish believers. By the time we get down to the bottom of this slide, I think you'll be convinced. In him, we saints have obtained an inheritance. I thought I obtained an inheritance. I always read this as me obtaining this inheritance. But inheritance is, I think you would agree, a very Jewish concept and a very Jewish word. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So that we saints who were the first to hope in Christ. Oh, maybe you did get the right group there. They were the first to hope in Christ. Not all of them, not enough of them, not a critical mass that would bring in the kingdom, but they were the first to hope in Christ. Might be to the praise of His glory. Last of verses here. In Him, you faithful, it changes. In Him, you faithful Gentile believers, also when you faithful heard the word of truth, this is clearly talking to Jews, and when you faithful heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you faithful were sealed with the promise by the Holy Spirit. Whew. Okay, at least I got the Holy Spirit sealing. At least that's for me. Thank goodness. Who is the guarantee of our, and now it's both saints and faithful, inheritance until we both acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. If you're persnickety about pronouns, this carries on through all of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And as you start to pay more and more attention to pronouns, you start to see patterns and little splits in Paul's epistles that never really showed up on your radar before. So this is where we'd be. We came in and we said, first the law, first doctrine, the law, first use. Where do we first see this stuff? We see it in the Old Testament. There are two kadosh and kasid Hebrew words that address this. Okay, all right. So, you know, there's stuff in there that's about holy ones, separate ones. It's clear from context and the many uses of this word. This is about the Jews. Once we get into the New Testament, then we see, oh, yeah, we've got a bunch of this hagion, ton hagion, hagia. And I think in the three instances, it's not referring to holy buildings like the temple. It seems to be referring to believing Jews. Those who first believed on Christ, for example. This means that Ephesians really starts out very Jewish and then goes into this body of Christ. It sort of weave it in. But it shows clearly the difference between saints, Jews, and Gentiles. In the body, there is no difference. But that doesn't mean that the Jews are not still owed a kingdom, a king, land. They have some different promises. We're all in the same body. We're all saved the same way in this dispensation of grace. But they've got some promises that will be coming. One area to just narrow the whole thing down so that I could fit it in my mouth, so to speak, is I went to the introductions of Paul, and where he's, if I look at the later ones and the early ones, he pretty much is addressing one group. Except for Colossians and Ephesians and Philippians. And we take Colossians and Ephesians and Philippians, and we look at Philippians, we say, my word, if I follow these pronouns really carefully, I don't see Gentiles. It's not that there are no promises and there's nothing for us in the first couple chapters of Philippians. I'm not saying that. But we are not directly addressed until chapter 3. Colossians a little bit, about halfway through chapter 1. And Ephesians, well, you've just read it here. You get down to about verse 13, 14, before you start seeing, and you who are coming alongside us are also mentioned. So to end, I think you ain't the saint. This does not put a bomb under any of the theology that we have here, but it may put a bomb under some of the ideas you have about, you know, we were predestined, especially some of those things in the first part of Ephesians that I always took as, that's me. But I don't think it is. And I think if we are right dividers, this is just the kind of thing that we need to get stuck. I'm not saying I'm right, but this is just the kind of thing that we need to get stuck into so that we can make an interpretation of Scripture that comes as close as possible to it. And I interviewed my uncle this last week, and I said, what's your definition of right division? He gave me a really nice, something that a McKinsey consultant would come up with. And he said, it's searching the Scriptures to find out what is to me. And I think you're going to put it down as like one little motto, one little phrase. That's pretty good. And I think this is part of that. And I will spend the next few years trying to figure out what the implications are if it is true that we are not saints. Let's close in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for the salvation that comes through your Son. We are so grateful for the Word written and living. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we can be in a country where we can get together here in great safety compared to the rest of the world and exchange these ideas and build up the body. Help us to continue to be workmen who are not ashamed, rightly dividing your precious word of truth. And we ask this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Yes.